Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Good evening, sports fans. I have been thinking about this for hours, and I have absolutely no idea how to start a show like this, nor do I have any idea how to get through a show like this. I just am going to be who I am as a person, as a basketball fan, as a talk show host for sure. But I just want you to know right now, this is not going to be some epic show where I have all this flowery language and amazing things to say, because I'm in the same boat as you are. It's one of those times when there are no words that can adequately describe what we're feeling, but there's so many things that I want to say. Does that make sense? All day long, I've struggled with how do I possibly talk about the impact of Kobe Bryant, and I don't just mean as a basketball player. I will explain, of course. How do you capture that with mere words? And how do you explain feelings? And how do you explain emotions? How do you make that connection? And yet, the opposite is also the truth. There is so much to say that I feel like these next 4 hours could be full of nothing but words about Kobe Bryant, his impact on the basketball community, on the city of Los Angeles, on his family, on the people who knew him personally. Since we heard about the helicopter crash in Calabasas, and since then, more information has come out. Initially, what we knew was Kobe Bryant. Then finding out about his daughter. And since then, hearing a few more names that have been confirmed by the family, though not yet released by authorities. The longtime coach of Orange Coast College baseball and his wife and their daughter, who was a teammate of Gianna's. There was also a coach on the helicopter. Christina Mauser was her name. First responders and the coroner, they're up in those mountains, up in the hills, in Calabasas, up in the woods. And they're expecting that recovering the victims and fully identifying them could take days. And so we're in this weird place of uncertainty as well. I tell you, I spent a couple hours thinking this can't be true. This can't be true. This isn't true. And especially after ABC initially did a report, there was a reporter on site there in Calabasas who said his four daughters are believed to have been on the helicopter. I've never prayed so hard for someone to be wrong in my entire life. So then finding out that his 13-year-old daughter, who shared his love for basketball, was in the chopper, that made it so much worse. And details have filtered out of the area since then. Initially thought to be 5 people on the helicopter. Now we know there were 9 people on the chopper. And according to authorities there, there were no survivors. So there's a lot to say, and yet words seem woefully inadequate. You aren't just going to hear from me. I want to hear from you. And in addition, people who knew Kobe personally. So we've been collecting as much reaction as we possibly can from members of the basketball community. Some who played with Kobe. Some who played against Kobe. Some who idolized Kobe and play basketball because of him. It runs the gamut. And I think that's something that really stuck with me all day as I was watching the news coverage and reading whatever I could, writing down some of my own thoughts, although they were jumbled and kind of senseless. Kobe isn't just an athlete, and his death isn't just a sports story. He's one of the rare athletes who transcends his sport. And even people who weren't basketball fans, didn't follow the sport on a regular basis, knew his face and knew his name. And we're talking about people worldwide. You know, he grew up a good portion of his childhood in Italy because his dad was a professional basketball player. He spoke fluent Spanish and Italian. He took trips to the Far East, even tried some Chinese. He was one of those generational icons. And everybody has a story about Kobe Bryant and how he impacted his life or her life. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will spend some time with Trevor Lane. He's been on our show before. He's in Los Angeles. He covered Kobe's career and also spent a couple of hours on the air doing a show just this evening in the wake of the news. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the photos and the videos from outside Staples Center. Just surreal. This huge, smiling Kobe Bryant in a photo up on the video board outside Staples Center, and there are what look to be hundreds of people just wanting to be with other Lakers fans and basketball fans who knew Kobe, wanting to mourn Kobe in that way. And at the same time, the Grammys taking place, just weird, surreal type of scene that probably doesn't happen in many more places outside of Los Angeles. And at the same time, as you've got people showing up on the red carpet, you've got a press conference taking place with the fire chief and the sheriff of Los Angeles County. Such a weird, strange, again, surreal intersection of time stopping and yet what seems to be so cruel in these moments that life goes on, whether we like it or not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and I put that out there so that you can share your stories if you want to. I know I've heard from a lot of you already. It helps, right? It helps sometimes to talk to other people who feel the same as you do. And since I don't really have a lot of sports fans in my family, you're really the first people that I'm talking to about this. We also have our Facebook page. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. I have to tell you something, and I've not said this on the air in a while, only because Kobe Bryant's been retired for a few years, but this is not a secret. Anybody who listened to me when I was at my previous network, you've heard me say this before. I hated Kobe Bryant as a basketball player. I didn't know him personally. I covered games that he played in, but I wouldn't say that I had a relationship with him outside of basketball. Of course not. But as a longtime Celtics fan, as someone who grew up in New Hampshire, Kobe Bryant represented the enemy. And as much as I can explain this, I will try. Working in this business for as long as I have now, working at the network level of this business going back to 2005, 6 was really when I was getting into it. Kobe Bryant was the last athlete that I had that much animosity for. So you work in this business long enough and you sit in my chair long enough and you could ask other radio hosts the same thing. You get to the point where those emotions are dulled. It's part of being a professional. It does tend to kind of numb that fan side of you. I'm so used to separating head from heart. I'm so used to talking about athletes and games in an objective way, taking my emotions and my heart out of it, that there hasn't been another athlete since Kobe Bryant that I felt this way about. I try to find the positive, generally. That's what I do. And working in this business day in and day out, it's one athlete after another. Again, it's the job. But Kobe was kind of that holdover from my days as a fan. Before that fandom became secondary to what I do in this business, I couldn't stand him. I used to have other athletes, you know, join me on my shows, and we would debate about Kobe Bryant, other people in the business. And of course, as I tell you all the time, sports hate is generally just jealousy. And of course, that's what it was. Even going back to 2010 and that game seven against, was it 2010? The game seven against the Celtics and my beloved Paul Pierce, who was my favorite. He sucked me in. He sucked me into that place as a fan where you can be so irrational about a human being that you don't know. And so Kobe was that last athlete that I just couldn't stand the look of him, that lower lip that jutted out, that arrogance that he wore, the fact that he didn't just want to beat his opponents, he wanted to make them cry. He wanted to crush them. Again, this is well documented. I've done shows and shows about Kobe Bryant because, of course, he was the Laker for 20 years, and he was a five-time champion, and he was a finals MVP twice, and he was an NBA MVP. He's fourth on the NBA's all-time scoring list. All this stuff I covered in my career. But here's what changed. When Kobe Bryant got hurt, his Achilles, and he was forced to sit out, as he changed and became more almost human, as he was humbled, as he was forced to sit back and watch a game where he'd never been forced to sit back and watch before, he changed. He was in touch with his own sports mortality all of a sudden, and he realized this image, this reputation, this killer instinct, all those things that had driven him for so long, eventually it was going to go away. Then Kobe joined Twitter. Sounds odd, right? But we as fans got to see a different side of Kobe. That experience of him tearing his Achilles and having to sit out, the end of his unbelievable career, it humanized him. It made him more relatable to me anyway. And then as he retired and he became more of the husband and the daddy that he wanted to all those years but was never around, as he doted on his daughters, as he coached his daughter Gianna's middle school basketball team, as he supported women's basketball, as he became a mentor to other NBA players, as he showed up for big events. And it wasn't a jealousy, a protection of his records. No, he was ready to pass that torch. He became an advocate. And he became a guy who encouraged so many other young basketball players of all ages, really. I almost hated to say it in spite of myself, but I really, really liked Kobe these last few years. The fact that he won an Oscar and he wrote a book and he had a production company, but mostly the fact that after all these years, he recognized what matters most. And sure, winning was great. The rings were great. And he was the best, one of the best ever to do it. The best of his generation. But Kobe the dad, Kobe the husband to Vanessa, a woman he met when he was in high school, who went through so much with him. I like that Kobe. I like the Kobe that was supportive and encouraging, who smiled, who was at peace, who was happy. That transformation Kobe Bryant went through, that was supposed to carry him through the rest of his life. And that to me is why this is even more tragic. It's not just Kobe the basketball player. We knew him as that. Kobe the dad, Kobe the husband, Kobe the son. That's the greatest loss. And he was ready to fill all those roles for the rest of his life. All right, we'll take some phone calls, of course, because I do want to hear from you. I know you all have your own thoughts and memories of Kobe Bryant. I want you to hear from some of his teammates, some of those who played and coached against him, some of the younger generation who wouldn't play basketball if it weren't for Kobe. And then we'll head to Los Angeles in a few minutes. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Don't miss out on your chance to enter the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. Over $1 million in prize money will be given out during Super Bowl 54. Enter for free by January 30th at rocketmortgagesquares.com. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Davis to LeBron. LeBron head down, driving to the rim, powers up, and lays it in, and there it is. LeBron James moves to number 3 on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Only Karl Malone and the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar have ever scored more points in this game than LeBron.
A 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid being able to make that leap, that's pretty damn cool. And as I started playing more ball and I went into high school, the things that he was doing on the floor, I, you know, admired and wanted to be a part of.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
LeBron passed Kobe Bryant on Saturday night for 3rd on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Just to add to the surreal weekend that it was for the NBA community. And he did this long post-game interview about what Kobe Bryant meant to him and his experiences with Kobe going back to when he was a kid. John Ireland with the call on the Lakers radio network. As that happened, Kobe tweeted his last tweet, as it turns out. "Continuing to move the game forward, King James. Much respect, my brother." And that's who Kobe had become. A bit of a grandfather. A guy who wanted to support and encourage and foster and mentor and nurture, which is just the weirdest thing to say about Kobe Bryant. And yet that's who he turned into. And I liked that Kobe. I was rooting for that Kobe. I enjoyed hearing from that Kobe and seeing that Kobe. And I'll be damned if I didn't go and Google photos of him and his family. His daughter, Gianna, was 13. She was the one that was most like Kobe. She was mini Mamba. loved basketball. He coached her team, and they were on their way to a travel tournament or a travel game on Sunday. Natalia, his oldest daughter, 17. Bianca, 3. And Capri, who was born just last summer. And his wife, Vanessa, who has been the constant in his life. Going back to long before he burst on the scene, they've known each other since they were teenagers. I can't even imagine being in her shoes. And so that I can pass on the information that I have, I don't have a complete list of the people that were on the chopper, but there have been confirmations from some family members who lost people who were on the helicopter as well. Orange Coast College baseball coach John Altobelli, he was a legend in his own right. He'd been their baseball coach for decades. He and his wife, Carrie, and their daughter, Alyssa, were also among the crash victims, according to family members. And then the only other name that I've seen is Christina Mauser, a girls' basketball coach. I don't know if she was Alyssa and Gianna's basketball coach, but she's also being mourned by her family, and she had multiple kids as well. And we'll wait to find out other details. Some of the audio recordings from inside the helicopter have been released. The NTSB is obviously on site. You may or may not have heard this, but the LA Police Department actually grounded its helicopters on Sunday because of the foggy conditions, and they didn't believe it was safe to fly. There were other choppers that weren't taking off. And while the pilot of Kobe's helicopter still had contact with air traffic control, they were trying to help him get above the clouds and get so that he was away from the fog and could fly with his own eyes, with his own visibility. So it was difficult even as they were climbing. And the helicopter went down in a place where firefighters had to hike in with their medical equipment and their hoses. It started a brush fire, and so it took them a little bit to get there. But medical personnel actually rappelled down to the site from their own helicopter, so you can imagine the scene. And while there are a lot of questions about the number of people on the plane and what they saw when they got there, the only thing that LA County officials would say is that there were no survivors. I don't know how they determined that. I don't know if they counted. I have no idea. I can't even envision a scene like that. A quarter of an acre of dry brush that was on fire, and the debris field of the helicopter and having to see that. And so as soon as we have more names, more details, we'll pass them along, because there are obviously a lot of families and a lot of people who are mourning. And then Kobe Bryant. A lot of you are finding me on Twitter, which I appreciate. We will get to your reaction. Also on our Facebook page. Just really quickly before we take our break, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the only two people now who has more points in NBA scoring history than LeBron James, who just passed Kobe Bryant, as we mentioned. Kareem put out a video as he was trying to process the news on Sunday.
It's very difficult for me to put in words how I feel about the loss of Kobe Bryant. As a young boy, I met him when he was 11 or 12 years old. I was friends with his dad, Joe. We were former adversaries. Joe played for the 76ers, but he was a good friend and someone that I shared a friendship. And it's hard for me to understand now how this is affecting Joe and his wife. So to Kobe's family, I want to send my most sincere and heartfelt regrets and prayers, and my thoughts are with you guys. Kobe was an incredible family man. He loved his wife and daughters. He was an incredible athlete and a leader in a lot of ways. He inspired a whole generation of young athletes. He was one of the first ones to leave high school and come to the NBA and do so well. dominating the game and becoming one of the best scorers that the Los Angeles Lakers has ever seen. I had the privilege of being there when he scored his 81-point game, and it was something that I will always remember as one of the highlights of the things that I have learned and observed in sports. Kobe, my thoughts are with you. Absolutely. Rest in peace, young man. This loss is, it's just hard to comprehend. Go with God.
The great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, in a video that he posted on social media, he mentions the 81-point game. Do you know this is the 14-year anniversary this week? 14 years since Kobe scored those 81 points against the Raptors. Just one of the crazy, incredible things he accomplished in his career.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Academy, for this amazing honor. Thank you, John Williams, for such a wonderful piece of music. Thank you, Verizon, for believing in the film. Thank you, Molly Carter. Without you, we wouldn't be here. And to my wife, Vanessa, our daughters, Natalia, Gianna, and Bianca, ti amo con tutto il mio cuore. You are my inspiration. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Did you know that Kobe Bryant was also an Oscar winner? His most recent acceptance speech. Of course, he was going to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame and make a speech there until his tragic death on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We want to welcome Trevor Lane, who's agreed to give us a couple of minutes. He's a senior writer for Lakers Nation and host of the Lakers Nation podcast, and just did a two-hour show and tried to not only express his own thoughts, but connect with basketball fans around the country. Trevor, thank you so much for joining us. What was it like to host that show in L.A. this evening as fans reacted to this stunning news?
It was definitely surreal. You know, we decided to do a live show across Facebook, Periscope, and YouTube, across Lakers Nation's social media, with the idea being that we could bring fans in and let people talk about it and talk out how they're feeling and all of that, kind of be that sounding board and that outlet. And it was awe-inspiring in a lot of ways to see how many people came in to share thoughts and stories and all of that about Kobe, and it felt good that we provided that kind of outlet for them as well. So, you know, certainly a somber show, and one that I wasn't excited to do or looking forward to do or anything like that. But it still was great to provide an opportunity for all of Lakers Nation to come together and talk it out.
A lot of people, for good reason, will remember what Kobe did on the basketball court as they pay tribute to him or as they talk about him in the coming days and weeks. But how much of a presence was he with the Lakers since he retired?
You know, he wasn't much of a physical presence with the Lakers. It wasn't something where he was there all the time. He wasn't showing up at a whole lot of Lakers games or anything like that. And that's because he was primarily focused on his family, on his daughters and everything else that he had going on. And he was taking that opportunity to spend time with them, you know, as he should. But you know, the specter of Kobe always loomed over the Lakers organization. You know, as soon as LeBron James came into town, there was the whole, you know, there was the pushback from some fans. Well, he'll never be Kobe was the thing that we heard over and over and over again. So, he wasn't there physically. Kobe was always a presence in the organization, just and in the fan base, because, you know, two decades in purple and gold will do that.
When he did have the chance to be at Staples Center with his daughters, with his wife, what was it like to see him with his family as opposed to that killer mentality he always had on the court?
You know, it was kind of fun to see the other side of him and to see, because there's a lot of us, and myself included, where we kind of grew up alongside Kobe, you know, and I call this part of the Kobe Bryant generation. As Kobe was starting to conquer the NBA, a lot of us were heading off to college and starting to figure out who we are and all that sort of stuff. So as Kobe grew up, so did we. And so seeing him kind of in that phase of his life as the dad, very, very cool. It's a very cool moment to see him in that role.
Trevor Lane is a senior writer for Lakers Nation, also host of the Lakers Nation podcast with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. This is tough, obviously, to ask, but I know it's something that a lot of people are talking about today. Favorite Kobe Bryant moments or Kobe Bryant memories, as you talk about, he really was the basketball player of this generation.
Oh, sure, yeah. You know, my favorite, the championships and everything are great. The buzzer beaters are great. But for me, my favorite memory is the final one, is the last game that he played against the Utah Jazz, dropping that 60 points in his retirement, because I think it, to me, it stood for everything that, that Kobe was all about. He was all about maximizing his potential and making sure that, that he gave everything he possibly could. And it felt like that game, I don't think we've ever seen an athlete do something like that, where the feeling as the game was going on was that we were seeing him empty the gas tank. Everything that he had left, he poured into that game, where when that was done, that was it. There was no basketball left in Kobe Bryant at that point. And I don't know if we've ever seen an athlete completely exhaust their talent to that level. And so that's something that will always stay with me.
Kobe didn't just want to beat his opponents. He wanted to reduce them to tears. And sometimes that actually happened with his teammates. There are stories of his interactions with his own teammates and how he kind of put them through the ringer with the tough love, so to speak. What did you see from Kobe as a teammate and as a guy who stayed with the Lakers his entire career but saw so many other guys come and go?
Yeah, I mean, Kobe was one of those guys where some teammates would find it hard to relate to him, and understandably, because he was basically obsessed with becoming the best basketball player he could possibly be, and he had that nearly single-minded focus. That's not something that you can expect out of every single person, but kind of like Michael Jordan before him, you know, if you weren't able to have that same kind of intensity, if you weren't able to bring that same kind of passion to the game, then you ran into conflict with Kobe, because he expected everyone else to be at that level. So yeah, there's the confrontations with Shaq, there's the confrontation with Nick Young in practice, and all those sorts of things that we heard about over the years. But that just kind of comes with the territory, and it comes with Kobe's personality. It's just part of him being him, that you were gonna wind up with some situations like that.
Trevor Lane with us from Los Angeles here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What was it like, that relationship between Kobe and the fans inside Staples Center, just in general Lakers Nation?
You know, Kobe had, and a lot of people call it the cult of Kobe. There are people who were massive Kobe Bryant fans. And again, it's because he spent so much time in Los Angeles and brought so much to the city, you know, all the five championships and everything else. There are people who still associate Lakers basketball with Kobe, and that will probably always be the case. You know, I grew up during the early days of Showtime, and so Magic Johnson was the first player that I latched onto. But even so, I think I can pretty firmly say that Kobe Bryant is the greatest Laker of all time. And so that's something that carries a lot of weight across the Lakers fan base, and watching him grow up as a Laker, I think, only endeared him to Lakers fans even more. So he is someone that is never going to be forgotten by Lakers fans, certainly.
Magic Johnson calling Kobe the greatest Laker of all time as well, in the wake of his death on Sunday. When the Lakers get back on the court, which is Tuesday, what do you expect?
You know, that's just it, right? Like, this is Tuesday's game was supposed to be one of the big ones. I mean, this is one of the ones that everybody had circled on their calendar. Lakers versus Clippers, round three, here we go. And now this is just kind of put it all in perspective, right? I mean, I know that, you know, speaking for myself and many others, that the outcome of the game doesn't feel all that important anymore. Where they are in the standings doesn't feel all that important. Instead, it's, yeah, there's going to be a game of basketball played, but I think more important than that, there's going to be a chance for grieving. And we've already seen today how many players across the league were deeply, deeply affected by what's happened. And I think we're going to see more of that on Tuesday. We're going to see more of that, you know, I don't even know if I can call it a healing process just yet, but the grieving process, as fans will be their first chance to get there in front of the team in person and express something for Kobe. So I think it's going to be a tough night, but I also think it's going to be a special night for Lakers fans.
Trevor, I've said this on the air long before this tragic day, that when Kobe Bryant went through his Achilles injury, when he was forced to sit and watch the game that he loved for the first time really in his career, going back to the days even when he was a teenager and broke into the NBA, that changed him. It turned him into a kinder, gentler Kobe Bryant, one that you almost could see the heart a little bit more and the hurt, which I think humanized him. And I started to like him so much more in a different way because of what we saw from him after he went through something that proved he was mortal, right? How did that injury and the end of his career change him, do you think?
Absolutely. I think, and that's a great observation. You know, before that injury, just about everything Kobe Bryant had, he pushed through, right? I mean, broken finger on his shooting hand, and so they wrap it up, and he just shoots through it, and he scores anyway. Hurts his right shoulder, so he's got another one. He shoots left-handed, right? This guy had played through everything, all these injuries piling up, and then the Achilles hits him, and you know, appropriately enough, that was, it was the Achilles that robbed him of his immortality, and that was when it kind of, I don't want to say it humbled him, but it does humanize him a bit. It made him understand that even he's not invincible. And so I think it did kind of give him a look of what it's like on the other side of when you can't be Kobe Bryant, when you have to fight to come back and you have to rehab and your career's in jeopardy and people are questioning whether or not you can ever really be that star ever again. If your talent is gone now, I think that changed his way of viewing the game, changed his approach, and made him, I guess, a kinder, gentler Kobe in a way.
Mm. So before I let you go, you've spent a couple of hours talking to Lakers fans. What did you hear from them?
You know, a lot of, obviously a lot of sadness, a lot of people saying, you know, we'll miss Kobe and that sort of thing. A lot of people who are struggling to process it. A lot of people who are, you know, still are in disbelief, but also kind of like we just shared here a few moments ago, a lot of people talking about, you know, my favorite Kobe moment was this. You know, my favorite Kobe moment was, you know, the lob to Shaq or the dual buzzer beaters in Portland or the championships or all these different moments, beating the Celtics in 2010. But what really stands out to me is how many people say my favorite Kobe moment was this, and I shared it with my dad, my brother, my friends. How many people came together around Lakers basketball and around watching Kobe Bryant play. I think that's been the thing that's really stood out to me, was the togetherness that has been created by people coming and watching the Lakers and watching Kobe and enjoying it with friends and family.
I'm sure I will hear a lot more of that on my show over the next few hours. You can find Trevor on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, a senior writer for Lakers Nation, covered Kobe Bryant's career, has a piece up on his Twitter about Kobe and his reflection. So I appreciate a couple of minutes. I know it's been a long and a tough day. Thank you, Trevor.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Good to hear from Trevor, since this has been all he's thought about and talked about now for hours. I want to hear from you. We've got more reaction from former Kobe Bryant teammates and opponents, but I also want to hear from you. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.